Well, good morning again. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors alongside of Jared and Brad and Jordan. If you are new with us, we would love to invite you to come to our new members class just to get like dinner out of it. You can come hear about who we are, how like our vision for our church. It's a great way to get to just know us. You don't have to be thinking, oh, I need to be like ultra into this thing. You can actually just come to like check us out if you have questions. If you have kids and you're like, man, Friday night, Saturday, like how in the world do I do that? Just so you know, we do a childcare stipend on Friday night. So you actually get the babysitter of your choice. And on Saturday morning, we have childcare that morning. So some of you might be like, that kind of sounds like a date. Talking about weird church stuff. Yeah, that's kind of what it is, I guess. Whatever could get you there, do it. If you're new with us, man, again, we'd love to have you that weekend. As Jared just mentioned, we also will be having lunch after the service. Please join us for that. We'd love to for you to have some good old salad from Jets or some really greasy pizza, but it's good. I don't know about y'all. I love that stuff. We are starting a new series today in 2 Timothy. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in this letter. Paul is the guy that's writing this. He was an apostle. He actually met Jesus in this blinding light when he was going around persecuting the early church. So one day, he's riding his horse, or maybe it might have been a donkey, I forget what happens. He gets struck down by light and blinded, actually. And Jesus says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that really changes his life. He like, with just that question, he goes, well, who are you? And Jesus introduces himself, I am Jesus. And he meets Jesus on that road. It begins this epic change in his life. This person that was persecuting the early church, these early followers of Jesus, he was dragging them out of their houses, having some of them stoned, having some of them thrown into prison. He now is going forth and becomes the greatest missionary the church has ever seen. He becomes the like mouthpiece for the gospel. His whole life is totally and radically changed. So he here is writing this letter. This is 2 Timothy is a letter, and it's a letter to a pastor, one of his pastor buddies that he loved. He had this strong familial ties with Timothy's family, with his grandmother, his mom, and he'd started like basically, in a lot of ways, becoming the spiritual father of Timothy. He brought him on these missionary journeys. And then Timothy he gets discipled by Paul, and then he gets put in some of these churches. And the church that he's currently at when he writes this is this church in Ephesus. So this letter of 2 Timothy, one, is just that. You need to remember, it's a letter. Secondly, he's writing to a pastor. This book is part of three books that are called the Pastoral Epistles, which is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And basically, those three letters are written to pastors. And so Paul's giving a lot of advice to this local pastor. So whenever you're reading this, you know who you could like substitute? You could substitute some names in here. Whenever you think of Timothy, you could think of me. I was probably about the same age as Timothy was, maybe a little bit younger at the time when he's writing this. And Paul is an older Christian, and he's like really pouring into this younger pastor. Are you with me there? So that's 2 Timothy. Today, when we dig into 2 Timothy 2, we're going to see this work that Paul's encouraging Timothy to be involved in, that's just the work of Jesus. It's making disciples. He tells them to do the very plan that Jesus did with his own disciples and that Paul currently is doing with like Timothy and some other men. It's basically hang out with a bunch of people that are faithful, pour into them everything Christ poured into you, and then let them teach all that stuff to other people. So today, this series is all about discipleship. If you're a believer, you're called to be a disciple. You're called to be this one who follows Jesus. And we want to dig into what does that look like? I would love today in this series to be kind of a checkup for us, for those of us who have been walking in the faith. Where are you in this passage? Are you pouring into others? Are you one that's pouring into someone else? Like, who are you? Where are you here? Do you kind of need to check in and go, man, I need to make some changes with my walk with God? I haven't really been taking this seriously. Paul's going to really push in. He's pushing in, again, to a pastor first. So what I want you to really hear is a lot of this message has really convicted me. This is a letter to a pastor, but a lot of this can apply to all of us. So today, I want to ask God to just work in this passage that we have today. Let me pray for us, and we'll ask God to do what he needs and wants to do in this place. Let's pray. Father God, would you help us this morning to receive what you desire for us to receive. God, this passage itself tells us and reminds us the word of God is not bound. Your word is more powerful than my words that come out of my lips. God, would you do in this place through your word what I cannot? God, would you in your spirit move, fall fresh in this service? Help us hear, help us be convicted. Help us see where we need to be changed. God, help us see where we need to be encouraged. God, whatever it is we need, God, we give all of this, all these people to your care. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Eugene Peterson says this in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. He says this, it is not difficult in such a world to get a person interested in the message of the gospel. It is terribly difficult to sustain that interest. Millions of people in our culture make decisions for Christ, but there is a dreadful attrition rate. Many claim to have been born again, but the evidence for mature Christian discipleship is slim. In our kind of culture, anything, even news about God, can be sold if it is packaged freshly. But when it loses its novelty, it goes on the garbage heap. There is a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for a long apprenticeship in what the earlier generations of Christians called holiness. That's important for this passage today. Discipleship throughout the ages of the church has always been looked at as this long journey towards God. It is not a 3-month quick fix. We inject you with some stuff and all of a sudden you're on this like hyped up sprint. This path that he's talking about is this long path called discipleship. Particularly, I love the word holiness here. We're signing up when we become disciples of Jesus Christ. We sign up to become holy. And that changes little by little in our lives. This is a long path. Think of the path that Jesus even had with his disciples. Think of the hours he spent with these 12 men. Think one of them just totally loses it and denies him, betrays him, and just, he loses that guy. Over 3 years, he had this intensive 3-year program that he pours and pours and pours into these men. That was a long time that he poured into these people. Jesus still works in a similar way, and he causes people even to work in that same way. But he was pouring into these men, turns into 11. They get a replacement for Judas, and then they start pouring into others. This is the way that God calls his people that are his disciples to get part on this like slow, long path that really begins with us and our walks with God. I love how he uses this phrase, there's little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue. To grow in character, to grow in holiness. We are a culture of now, 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 do, do, do. And we just want to get this quick fix. It's like, this is going to one that I want to start us on. It's a long path. It is the path that we walk with Jesus. Dallas Willard, when talking about discipleship, said that discipleship's kind of namely three things. So I want to frame our conversation today in kind of three categories that he uses. And I just want to use his words. Dallas Willard says this. He says, first, discipleship is that we are learning to do the things what Jesus explicitly said to do. So let me say that one easier way. It's obedience. We're learning to do the things that Jesus said explicitly to do. Becoming a disciple is about like, of Jesus, is obeying the things that Jesus said to do. These things that Jesus told us to do, to love our enemies, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love God, to make disciples of all nations. These aren't just suggestions. These are things that we obey. And that's the first part about being a disciple, is we learn to do the things that Jesus explicitly said to do. Second, we are learning to conduct the usual activities of life. So this is really important to this conversation. Discipleship actually works out in the everyday things that we do. It's not just happen on a Sunday when you're at a special service or the church has a special event or you've decided to have this like special night where you do something religious. You know, we're going to have a Bible study in our home. That's not the one place that you're a disciple. It's actually as if you're a working mom. It's in your job. It's when you get home. When you take care of your kids. It's in changing diapers. It happens in doing your taxes. And then whatever job you have, it happens in the usual activities of life. Becoming a disciple is learning how to do the everyday activities of life with Jesus and the way that Jesus did it. Again, we can't split up our lives into I'm a disciple in this part of my life, and then when I go to work, I just never think or talk or consider how Jesus would live. No, he wants us to figure out how to be good employees, good dads, good moms, good friends. He has the usual activities of our life he wants to be in. And then the third way, and I love how he writes this, I'll read this twice. He says, is where we learn to exercise the power of the kingdom of Christ in his word and spirit, to minister good and defeat evil in all of the connections of its earthly existence. I'm going to read this one more time. The third part of discipleship is learning to exercise the power of the kingdom of Christ in word and spirit, to minister good and defeat evil in all of his connections of earthly existence. Here's what this really is saying. Being a disciple comes with like, you're coming into a life with power. Like it's the very spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And being a disciple is just not this passive thing that we go around. We actually can engage the world with like power, the power of the kingdom. When we pray Jesus' prayer that he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're praying for that kingdom of heaven to come into the realities here at earth. And we are the ones that will walk in that power. And it's learning to walk in that power. That's a huge thing. Discipleship is an amazing, when you think of it in these three categories, obedience, normalcy, and power. I think when you think of those three areas, it's like our lives, the calling that God has given to us to be his disciples and to make disciples is just an amazing thing. We want to see here how Paul is telling Timothy to kind of engage in this. This is Paul's letter of Timothy, make disciples. This chapter 2, these 13 verses are about where he's sent telling Paul to, I mean, Timothy to do this, to engage in making disciples. So we want to see, how does Paul tell Timothy this? How does he explain this? In verses 1 and 2, we get to see this. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul's talking to Timothy, and the first thing he says, and this is so important, is be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The beginning of our discipleship always begins with God. It always begins by being strengthened by grace. It doesn't begin with here's the job today, here's your job, and it's like outside of Jesus. It begins with it's all in Jesus. You've got to first, Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So one, I'm going to leave that here. That's the first thing he says. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus. Then what does he say? So he gives them two things. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does he tell them to do next? He tells them, what you heard from me, entrust to faithful men so that they might teach others. This is the make disciples part. This is where he's saying, Timothy, be strengthened by grace that is in Christ Jesus. And two, what you heard from me, tell other men, tell faithful men, because then they need to tell other men. It goes three generations there, you see. You get Paul's telling Timothy, well, it's actually four. Paul tells Timothy, Timothy tells these faithful men tell other men. You see how that works? We're all just supposed to pass it down. This is the way, this should be like nothing new. This is not like some new plan. What, like we could be like, oh, what type of plan is this? Paul's getting, whoa, this is interesting. Where did this come from? Jesus, this is like his ministry. This is exactly what he did. He took faithful men. You get to see a passage in the gospel where before he chose those men, he actually gets strengthened by grace that is in his Father. He goes up on the mountain and he prays all night. He's like, it's really important for him to like choose these right men that are he's going to call his disciples. And he goes and prays all night. And when he comes down, he chooses these 12 guys. And these 12 guys, he's going to pour into them. And he's going to tell them, pour into others. That will teach others. This is not some new plan. Paul's not making some new like church planting strategy. It's like good for, you know, Ephesus only. This is the way of Jesus. What Paul is really saying is, hey, do what Jesus did. I'm copying Jesus, so you need to copy me. Yeah, I brought you on my all, like for Timothy, he would be telling him, yeah, I brought you on all these missionary journeys. You know, you were with me. I had my guys and I was pouring into y'all. That's why I've left you in Ephesus. Titus, that's why I left you in Crete. It's for you to go pour into other men who will pour into others. All of us are called to do this. We are all called to make disciples. It makes us ask, this passage makes us ask two questions. If part of discipleship is making disciples, we just have to ask two things when we think of this passage. One, okay, let's go back to that first question. What does it mean to be strengthened by grace? Like, we really do need to ask, okay, that's a neat phrase, Paul. You said, be strengthened by grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? And two, I think we need to ask of this question, who are we here? Who are you? I want to start with who are you? Who am I? Is a question in these first two verses. Are you someone that is what I would think Paul would call faithful? Like, how would you be, like, if, for instance, I'm the pastor and I'm hearing this and I'm called to pour into faithful men? I just would be interested. The one question becomes, like, would you make that cut of being faithful? Would you, if I poured into you, would you pour into others? There's a conviction that should well up in us here. Where are you in regards to, am I faithful? Like when Paul tells Timothy, choose faithful men, and this is, he's talking about mankind here, so this goes for men and women here. Would I make that list of, like, I would be faithful? How do we know that? How do we see that? That's the second question. How do I know that? First is, I think you've got to go back to that first line of, are you being strengthened in grace, in the grace of Jesus Christ? A person that is faithful, they have to start with that first line of, do you meet with God? Does your relationship with God start and begin and end and all of it, like, is wrapped up in God and the grace that he gives you? Do you actually meet with him? Do you take time to abide in him? Do you take time to pray? If not, you need to just think, where am I? This is a good time to just kind of evaluate. How are you doing with your discipleship, which should start with being strengthened by the grace of Jesus? Again, what that means for us is we just always need to remember what Jesus does, has done for us. We need to be strengthened by his grace, all of his works. That's what has saved us. His death, his resurrection, his work has accomplished all these things in our life, and that's what we need to be strengthened in. I want to lay that just kind of convicting question on you. Who are you in this passage? Are you a person that's going to be pouring? Are you pouring into faithful men right now? Awesome. Are you part of the faithful men that are going to teach others to what you've been taught? Or are you part of a crowd that's like, I need to get part of this faithful crew. I need to, like, start meeting and walking with Jesus. See, these ones that are going to teach other people, they're looking for people to talk to. And then this church and our community groups, you should be looking for people. You should always be thinking, man, what can I pour out? What I know about Jesus, what can I give to someone else? Everyone in this church should be in a relationship where you're learning about Jesus Christ and being strengthened in his grace. If you're not in that, I would really encourage you to talk to someone in your community group. Talk to a pastor. We would love to help you get in a relationship like this. Paul goes on to talk about what this life, though, is going to look like. You know, when you get into discipleship, here's the first thing he says. You know, he wants all of y'all to know what this life is going to look like. So in verse 3, here's what you're called to do. As disciples, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The reality of the Christian walk is just this. It's life is suffering. The path of a disciple is not this path of just health and wealth where life gets easy. It's the path with Jesus. Jesus' path was a path of suffering. This is the path that Jesus walks in. Paul's a great person to say this. When Jesus met Paul, who was known as Saul at the time, he actually has this conversation with him. Plus, Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul was persecuting all these people that believed in Jesus, but Jesus says, "You're persecuting me." Here's what's important to remember here. Those that suffer with Christ, Jesus just, they're one. When God messes with, when people mess with us, they mess with Christ. The road of suffering is the road of presence with God. It's sometimes hard to see, but he's in it. He calls disciples, this road that I've just got to tell you is, discipleship begins here with, in Paul's mind, with suffering. Good day. What a path. What an encouraging letter. As a good soldier in Christ, share in suffering. And then he goes on to give three examples of, okay, like, let me really tell you what I'm talking about here. So in verses 4-6, he gives three examples. He goes, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of crops. And he gives us these three examples, the soldier, the athlete, the farmer. And basically what he says about the soldier is, look, your life's supposed to be like a soldier. They don't get entangled with the kind of worldly civilian affairs. They do please him, their enlisted officer. So what this would be for you is, hey, are you entangled with civilian affairs? Are you caught up more on the side of what the Raleigh-Durham area is telling you you need out of life? Are you entangled? Or is it all you want to do is please the one who's called you to his service? Where are you there? Athlete is the second example. He basically says, don't cheat, compete. Don't cheat, compete. He's like, an athlete has to follow these rules. He doesn't get a prize unless he completes by the rules. And what I think he's saying is very, very similar. He's like, a lot of us want to follow Jesus just in our complete own ways. We don't start with what Dallard Willis says is the beginning, which is obedience. Jesus Christ gave us these instructions to life. He gave us these commands on how to live, how to walk with him. Do those. I mean, what a wonderful world it would be if everyone, his Sermon on the Mount is brilliant. He basically says in this message that Christians or those who follow him should try to do as much good in this world without getting caught by anyone. To be these people that secretly do good for everyone, and we never do it for public gain. We never do it just to show the world. I mean, if we followed what Christ said, the world, I mean, it would just be amazing. And what he's saying is, Jesus Christ gave us the rules. Be like the athlete, compete. Don't cheat, don't do your own thing and try to get in your own game. Go by the rules. And then he gives the last example of the farmer. The hardworking one is the one that should receive the first part of his crops. Here's what he's saying is, to follow Jesus Christ, you've got to like be following him. You can't just like make a decision like Eugene Peterson says, it's easy to just make a decision and then never do anything. You sit in immature faith. Oh, okay, yeah, this grace thing, I love this thing, but when it comes to obedience and changing little by little, sitting with God, being strengthened by his grace, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to meet the God who saved me. I prayed that prayer, he saved me, but I just thought, you know, 2 minutes, that's a lot of time. 5 minutes, goodness. This is, Paul's saying, nah, to be a disciple, you've got to follow. That's the nature of being a disciple, is you follow Jesus. You walk with him. And it's a walk that's filled with suffering, but it's filled with Christ. And he closes his time out with exactly where he began, which is in verse 8 through 10. He says this to Timothy, he goes, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached on in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The easiest thing for us to do in our lives is to forget Jesus. It's easy for churches to do. If we just have this program, if we do this and we make this thing happen, you know, we're going to have this successful thing. We'll get a lot of people show up. Forget that. If we do not remember Jesus Christ, if we're not, it begins with be strengthened by his grace and it ends with remember Jesus Christ, Timothy. You're going to be tempted to try to figure out everything except why don't I go to Christ? Why don't I remember him? And at this point, Paul gets lost because Paul's in love. And so he starts just preaching. And I was part of a funeral yesterday that had several black congregations part of it. And I just prayed a prayer and I was like, oh my goodness, like I'm starting to preach just through my prayer because there's a lot of response. Like, you know, at our church, there's not as much like interaction. But I was like, man, I'm on fire right now. This is like awesome. But it's like Paul, I think of this as like he starts going off. He's like, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. You know, he's like the risen one, the one who is the Messiah, the King, as preached on in my gospel. In this way, he's saying the one who predestined us, the one who adopted us, the one who justified us, the one who sanctified us, the one who has glorified us. Remember Jesus Christ. And he just goes off, and then he goes off on his suffering. He's the reason I suffer. And you even hear that in a positive way. He is the reason I am in chains, but the word of God is not in chains. His heart is exploding here. It is coming off. Remember Jesus above all, disciples. If you forget Jesus, forget all of it. Forget all of it. If he is not risen from the dead, it's worthless. If you forget him, I don't know where you'll go in your discipleship, but you won't be following him. We have to, as his disciples, we follow Jesus. We have to start with being strengthened by his grace. And the end is remembering him. In every part of what we do, we remember Christ Jesus. And I love how he ends. He goes, you know, the reason I suffer is because he's worth it. He's worth it. And they are worth it. Everyone on this planet is worth it for me to suffer. They need to meet the Jesus I've met to know that the one who is killing believers is the one that heralds the good news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, that he has forgiven every sin, Jesus is worth it, and every person on this planet is worth it for us to suffer. This day, I call you, where are you in your discipleship? Think about this. Where do I need to grow? Am I walking with Jesus? If you're walking with Jesus, are you pouring into others what you know about Jesus? If you're pouring into others about Jesus, is it time for you to like tell them, y'all need to pour into others, and I need to get some more others, some other faithful? This series, I just want to invite you, stick around for the next few weeks. This is like a really practical thing. We want this year as a church to be disciples who love God and love others. This is a really practical way for us to dig into how do we do that with each other? This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, he will reign. We will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Let's pray. Father, would you teach us how to walk with you? Your disciples asked once, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? God, would you teach us your way, how to follow you? God, for those in this room that are convicted of in one way or the other, God, would you bring your spirit to just further reveal, God, where you want repentance, where you want change, where you want life. God, would you do what only you can do during this time? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.